Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Dan Small here in the studio with Jeff Kelm, and we've got an interesting show for you today. As always, we're going to hear about fall camping, fishing, and hunting opportunities in Adams County. We'll talk with a Rough Grouse Society biologist about this season's grouse hunting conditions, and we'll hear a hunting and fishing report from Lake of the Woods, Minnesota. And my brother Mike and I will tell you about some phenomenal fall musky fishing in Wisconsin's North Woods. And our giveaway this week is a fall lodging and fishing package on Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, and we'll tell you how to get in on the drawing in a few minutes. It's time now for the Madison Outdoors Report, brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club, on the web at milfordhills.com. And joining us is the general manager of Milford Hills Hunt Club, Michael Quello. Michael, good to talk to you again.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Dan.
Now, I've been out there, as you know, at Milford Hills a number of times for your grand opening a couple of weeks ago, and we're taping our deer hunt special there, and I always make it a point to try to be there around lunchtime or dinner time if I'm going to stay that long, because I love the food that you guys have out there, and I understand your Friday night fish fry is starting real soon.
Yeah, that's correct. We're going to start it up on October 19th.
Okay, so just a week or so away. And tell us about that fish fry for folks who've never enjoyed it before.
Well, it's a great time for the general public to come out to the club. We open up the doors, let everyone in, and it's a great fish fry, either two pieces or three pieces of fish with potatoes, French fries. It's a really a great time to come see the club and try some of our food.
Uh-huh. And this is an evening fish fry, right?
Yes, that's correct. We start at 4 o'clock and run till 9 o'clock.
Okay. And, you know, I've had a couple meals there recently because, as I say, I was out there. And I've noticed you've got some new menu items on the you're offering new menu items now. You've made some changes.
Yeah, that's correct. We wanted to go really into that hunt theme. So we have things that are items such as venison. We have some bison, a lot of pheasant, a lot of game birds on the menu, and really want to get fresh local produce in and have people able to come out and try some of the things that we have on the menu.
Mm-hmm. Now, people come out for the fish fry, of course, and people who have a hunt or a Sporting Clays event will try to plan that around lunch or end it with dinner, with cocktails and dinner. But do you have folks who come out from Madison or from the surrounding communities for to have meetings, lunch meeting, that type of thing?
Yeah, that's actually, we have groups that come out for some entertainment. Well, they'll do Sporting Clays or a hunt and tie lunch into it, or have a half day out of the office mm-hmm. where they will do breakfast and then do a little activity, come back for a meeting. And it works out really well for people to have a unique meeting space, something in that isn't the typical boardroom or the conference space. And then they have a place where they can have some great food, enjoy some drinks, and start thinking outside of the box.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk a little bit about the hunting. I know the hunting season has opened. What do you folks offer?
Right now, we are have some hunt specials going on. We do a lot of pheasants and chuckers, and the pheasants that we have or have been releasing, the tail feathers on those have been amazing coming out here. We've been doing a lot of the black pheasants and the traditional pheasants as well.
Uh-huh. So when you say amazing tail feathers, you're not talking these short juvenile birds that just molted, huh?
No. These right now, over the last few years, the tail feathers have really grown, and we've kind of locked that in or zoned that in to get some real nice length from birds that are, when you hunt them or see them, they look 2 or 3 years old.
Mm-hmm. And do some people, in addition to eating them, do they take them for mounting?
Absolutely. There's a taxidermy that we use that can get those, and you can set those up for your man cave.
Uh-huh. Okay. And the trading post is now open, of course. I was out there for the grand opening. Tell us what you do at the trading post.
Yeah, the trading post has been very busy. We have the gun shop and then the shooting range. So anything from 10 yards to 100 yards. We've had quite a few pistol shooters out. They tend to stay on one end of the range, and then we have the people that are coming out getting their rifle sighted in, getting ready for the upcoming season or going out west. And it's worked out really well. We also have guns in the shop that we have customers going down trying some of the used guns or different things before they buy them, and it's been very, very popular.
Mm-hmm. Has your gunsmith been busy?
Extremely busy, but there's always room for more work. We have some people coming in, and if there's any specialty jobs or doing other things, we can take care of that as well.
Uh-huh. Well, this is really the time, you know, we're a month away from gun deer season. It's time to get a rifle ready and to get it sighted in and make sure everything is working, because you don't want to have to deal with that a day or two before the season. You won't get it done.
Correct. Yep. It's a great time to do it. During the week, we're open till 7 p.m. You can come out. Our range has lights, and sight your rifle in, mm-hmm. or just have some fun out here and enjoy some of the food that we were talking about.
All right. Well, Michael, thanks so much for talking with us. I'll see you in just a couple days, and I hope to see a lot of new faces out there enjoying the food and the fun at Milford Hills.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
You bet. Michael Quello, General Manager of Milford Hills Hunt Club, and this was brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club on the web at milfordhills.com. More Outdoors Radio straight ahead.
Enjoy upland bird hunting at its finest, plus year-round sporting clays and shooting instruction at Milford Hills Hunt Club. Milford Hills has a full-time gunsmith, a well-stocked pro shop, and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your client or corporate outing. And their Friday night fish fry is second to none. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility. Call 920-699-2249. Or visit MilfordHills.com.
An extended version of Outdoors Radio is archived, and you can listen to it anytime, 24/7, 365, on my website, DanSmallOutdoors.com, on Jeff's website, Hardwater-Angler.com, or at lake-link.com/DSO radio. So three places and more. Actually, you can listen on the Milford Hills website, too. Well, Jeff, I was up north fishing for a few days, but I imagine you've been doing a little bow hunting.
Yeah, I gotta say this is weird because we have a second or a third person in the studio here.
We do, yes.
And we'll talk about that here in just a bit.
And we'll talk with him.
Yeah, I have been doing some bow hunting. I actually got a doe this last weekend.
Congratulations.
So it was kind of redemption for me because I haven't exactly had the greatest season. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, I didn't see anything with antlers, though. Mm. Not a thing.
Really? Where did they all migrate? Did they leave town?
I don't know, but we are seeing them still on camera.
Okay.
At night, everything's late, or at least after shooting time.
Right.
But I saw nothing walking around, no forkhorns, no spikes.
I'll be done.
Just the fawns and does.
Well, but you got one for the freezer.
Got one for the freezer. Hopefully more to come.
And are both loins spoken for now?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
In fact, one of them is eaten already.
Oh, my goodness. I'm a little shy of venison right now. So and now, speaking of feed and food, you have a brat fry this weekend.
Yep, this weekend. It runs all day Saturday, and people can stop out at the Festival Foods in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And we've got an AquaView Micro underwater camera to give away, and we have a Polar Fire ice fishing suit to give away. Mm. It's waterproof, windproof, very warm and light. We also have a nebulous flotation device for your ATV or snowmobile. Duffy Cup will be out there. We'll have a few other people stopping by that hopefully you'll have a chance to see some pro staffers from a number of the companies. So it'll be a lot of fun. Right now, you can actually make donations to the USA Ice Team at usaiceteam.com if you can make it to the brat fry.
Great. And this, just so you know, is not to line Jeff's pockets, but fund the USA ice fishing team in the World Championship that's coming to Wausau, Mosinee, Wisconsin, this winter. And you mentioned a special guest. My brother Mike Small is here in the studio with me. Mike, did you know that Jeff is on the... He's an Olympic fisherman, basically.
I didn't know that. Yes. I didn't know there were Olympic ice fishermen.
It was funny when you asked me before if I fished. It was just kind of off the top of your head. You were just asking me, you know. And
okay,
it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, we call him Hardwater Jeff, and his website is hardwater-angler.com, and he's an ice fishing specialist. And you, as a number of our listeners know by now, are a muskie fly fishing specialist, and You flew out to join me for a few days up north, and we had a ball, didn't we?
Yes, we did. It was a great opportunity to spend some time with my famous brother and to catch some muskies and have a great time. We had some great weather, and we fished with three of the premier muskie fly fishing guides in Wisconsin. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. We had Wendy Williamson for just a couple hours on the first day because we had to drive up there. And Brad Bowen, who's pretty well known and kind of a wildcat fishing guide, and he put us on to some muskies, the likes of which I've never seen. And then
sure
my
did, yeah.
My good friend Roger LePenter rode hard in the strongest in your face wind in 30 degree weather for 6 hours. Like, I mean, he's older than I am, and he wouldn't let us take turns on the oars. It was amazing.
No, he's a trooper.
Yeah, he certainly is. Now, we caught, I was beginning to lose count, but we caught a dozen muskies in one day, which I've never even seen before, let alone done.
It's quite a day. Yeah, that's quite a day.
Have you ever had a day like that?
The only day closest to that was when we caught seven or eight
right.
In one day a couple years ago.
A couple years ago.
In northern Wisconsin.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, with Steve Cervenka.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Now, you brought a couple of your flies into the studio here so that our viewers or listeners at home can see them, or just so we could show Jeff. And he's seen them before. You know, he's just shaking his head there because he's a radio guy. And, you know, TV guys have to have props. But, Jeff, I want to show you something. This is the fly tied by Brad Bowen. He calls this one a Buford.
Right.
That's chartreuse, pretty
yep,
obviously.
Yep.
He also calls it a Chippewa, chartreuse Chippewa water squirrel.
Water squirrel, yeah, yeah.
Would you guess that that caught seven muskies, and it looks like it just came right out of the box?
Yeah, it looks good, actually. I would think things would be a bit more frayed and tore up, but I suppose I didn't see it when it was brand new. Maybe it is missing
it
something.
It looked just like that. We'll post a picture of Brad with this fly in his mouth on our Flickr page and a link to it from our website just to show. He wanted to show the muskies how to take the fly, you know, so he did that. And Mike brought one of his flies.
Yeah, this is a slide winder. Actually, I used three of my flies at a deer hair popper, a slide winder, and another one called a cone head.
Yeah.
And I was happy to say, actually, that my flies kind of, I could say, held their own against the guide's patterns, which I was happy to see.
They did.
And I try to tie so that it takes several factors into play, including color, flash, water movement, and noise. And,
mm-hmm.
And I find that those are the things that seem to attract muskies. Yeah,
yeah, well, and the muskies we got into were slashing into bait, so they were boiling on the surface. And that conehead fly that pops and gurgles kind of imitates that.
Yeah, I think it makes a commotion like an injured fish, and I think that attracts them sometimes, yeah.
Now, last week you were on the show before we went up north, and you were talking about getting started in fly tying, and a friend of yours actually got you started, didn't he?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny story. A guy that I used to fish with in Adirondacks, upstate New York in the Adirondacks, a guy named Bill Carl, gave me a box of fly tying stuff several years ago, and I didn't know what to do with it. It sat on a shelf in my office for several years. I almost threw it out a couple of times, and I started tying some flies, and I looked at them. I said, hey, you know, I think I'll try one of these, and I bought a fly rod, and I started catching fish on them, and, you know, the rest of it is
history, as they say,
yeah.
And
yeah.
We didn't catch anything approaching those 50 inches that you caught in New York before you came here, but you were at least you had a good workout.
Oh, it was a great day. It was a great 3 days. Even the days when we didn't get into a lot of fish, we saw fish and moved fish, which is a
right.
good musky day.
Oh, yeah. A good musky day is a couple of follows, as you know. You know.
You're talking to a panfish guy.
Yeah.
If I don't get into 120 fish a day,
panfish,
you know,
that's
you know?
Bait. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, we had great time. We stayed, you know, our good friend, and you know him, Brad Karsted,
yeah.
Is a partner in a cabin up there at near Big Bear Lodge. We stayed mm-hmm. right there. And ate at the Big Bear. In fact, we could add the Big Bear Reds at Big Bear to Outdoors Radio's favorite Northwoods restaurants because we had a walleye fish fry. You said you haven't had a chance to do that.
I don't eat walleye very often, no, and it was delicious.
Awesome.
And we stayed there for we just went back there for dinner three nights because we were hungry and tired, and it was,
man, I'll tell you what, you don't get better than a Northwoods supper club type thing in Wisconsin.
Absolutely not.
It's just awesome.
So, Mike, we're going to send you home. Now, you got a few weeks of musky fishing left. Are you going to fish in New York again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as often as I can. Probably get out three or four more times and hope to get into another big one. We'll see.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, thanks for joining us live in the studio, and I really had a great time with you, as always, and we'll just have to do this again real soon.
Same here, and thanks for having me.
You bet. Now, Milford Hills Hunt Club, their new trading post, their gunsmith, and their 100-yard shooting range, they're open and they're ready for your visit this fall. It's a good time to sight in your rifle. Do it now. Don't wait another 2 or 3 weeks because everybody's going to be lined up there. So now there are two places here in south central Wisconsin where you can sight in a rifle, Milford Hills and McMillar.
Yeah, and these guys are experts. I mean, it's not that the local clubs can't help you, but usually they only got two or three guys that really, really know their stuff. Milford's full of guys that know their stuff.
Absolutely, and they know how to take apart and put together guns, which some of us don't know, right?
That's right. They're working on one of mine.
Yeah, so in a week or two, I hope to have it back in with all the parts inside the gun instead of outside the way you sent it there. So. And for the month of October, we have a special giveaway, a fall fishing and lodging package on Minnesota's Lake of the Woods. The winner will get two nights lodging at Wigwam Resort and a full day of charter fishing. And you have to use that trip this month or next. So, well, actually, it'll be next month because we're giving it away at the end of this month. So to enter the drawing, send an email to info@lakeofthewoodsmn.com or call 800-372-FISH. Leave your email address and phone number. You got to sign up for the weekly fishing report and be sure to say you want to enter the Outdoors Radio Fall Fishing Package giveaway. That's 800-372-FISH. Or info@lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Coming up on today's show, Fred Nickel joins us from the Adams County Parks and Recreation. He's the park director. He'll talk about fall camping at Pete and Well in Castle Rock. A Rough Grouse Society coordinating biologist Gary Zimmer will join us and talk about the upcoming the rough grouse season going on now. And Joe Henry, executive director of Lake of the Woods, will join us and talk about hunting and fishing up there right now. More Outdoors Radio coming up next. Millions of walleyes, trophy walleyes, the walleye capital of the world, Minnesota's Lake of the Woods. Dan and I encourage you to take action and plan a trip to Lake of the Woods, the nation's premier walleye lake. Over 50 full-service lodging facilities with charter boats and fish house rentals. Fishing is hot year-round. Meal plans, fun bars, and the Lake of the Woods hospitality awaits you. All the info is at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Or call 800-382-FISH.
Enjoy upland bird hunting at its finest, plus year-round sporting clays and shooting instruction at Milford Hills Hunt Club. Milford Hills has a full-time gunsmith, a well-stocked pro shop, and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your client or corporate outing. And their Friday night fish fry is second to none. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility. Call 920-699-2249. Or visit MilfordHills.com.
For the nonprofit Rough Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
When hunters ignore the rules of firearm safety, the consequences can be tragic. Hello, I'm Conservation Warden Tim Lawhern. This hunting season, will you choose to be safe? Responsible hunters will. Here's how. Every time you handle a gun, handle it like it's loaded. Never point it at yourself or someone else. Know your target and what's beyond it. And keep your finger out of the trigger guard until you're ready to fire. Your DNR wants you to have a safe hunt by following these simple rules. Remember, safe hunting is no accident.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin DNR and your local conservation warden.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. Dan Small here with Jeff Kelm in the studio. And joining us now on the phone is Adams County Parks and Recreation Director Fred Nickel. And this part of our show brought to you by Adams County Parks and Recreation. Their website is adamscountyparkswi.com. Well, Fred, I saw you just a few days ago at the Outdoor Wisconsin Banquet, and I trust you made it home safely.
Yes, we did. It was quite late by the time we got home, but it was a great event. Never been to it before, and I hope a lot more people participate in the future years for Milwaukee Public there, and that was a fine program.
Yeah, we had fun, and did you win any big prizes? I didn't see you toting any guns.
No, I didn't tote any guns. However, I did distribute a few funds, though, that evening. But
oh, good.
That's okay. That's
okay.
All part of the fun.
Good, good. Well, it was good to see you, and Rita and her sister and Bill and your son Nathan. It was kind of like old home week there for a while.
Cause, exactly. Thank you.
It reminded me of that rabbit hunt we did last year.
Yeah, that was a great hunt, yes.
Well, now you joined us so that we can talk about the great recreation in the county parks there in Adams County. Tell us about your two county parks, Castle Rock and Pete and Well.
Okay, we do have two destination campgrounds, Pete and Well, which is licensed for 500 camping units, and Castle Rock, which is licensed for 200 camping units. And one is on the Pete and Well Floridge, and one is on the Castle Rock Floridge. And both facilities are open year-round and hot showers 24/7. So we see a lot of fall campers coming up there for fishing because the weather's turning colder and the fishing is starting to pick up for the walleyes, mm-hmm. and they even catch a few muskies out there in the Floridges.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't aware of the muskies until I saw one person catch one when he was fishing for a bluegill.
Oh, wow. That was a surprise, I'll bet.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
So, both the facilities open year-round. We have other facilities in the county, too, but those are our two major destination campgrounds.
Uh-huh. Now, tell us again, for people who may not remember or who want to do some fall camping, do you need a reservation?
No, you do not. And actually, this is a great time of the year to go camping at both of those facilities because summer is naturally the peak time, but during the fall, you can get some really nice sights right on the water.
Mm-hmm.
And with the color of leaves, they're starting to go down a little bit now, but you don't have to worry about the bugs this time of the year. And one nice thing also about a fall camping is, you know, when the people get off the water, and a lot of people come up there hunting also for turkeys, a lot of turkeys in Adams County.
Yeah.
And you come out back to the park after your hunt or your fishing, and you can have a nice hot shower. And like I said, those are open 24/7.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's really nice.
Neat. Now, Adams County used to be one of Aldo Leopold's favorite grouse hunting destinations. If you read Sand County Almanac, he talks about hunting. Most people go all the way north to where my brother Mike and I were last weekend up muskie fishing. But a lot of people don't know that there was grouse hunting available back then. Is there still, are there many grouse left in Adams County?
Yes, you do still see some grouse around.
Oh.
I don't have much time to hunt, Dan, but I do jump a few grouse once in a while. And one thing I've been jumping a lot is woodcock.
Really?
I've never seen woodcock around very much except a lot of woodcock this year. But I remember that Elda Leopold, that was one of the requirements when I gone to the University of Stevens Point to read.
Oh, well, good for you. So you're familiar with Leopold.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So if I wanted to hunt grouse, I could camp there. Can I bring my dog if I'm camping there?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Dogs are permitted. Just keep them on a leash.
Mm-hmm.
And we do see a lot of fall hunters coming up there, bow hunting and duck hunters, and a lot of fall fishermen, because this is the time of the year when the serious walleye fishermen start going out.
Okay.
I know below the dams at Pete and Will, there's a lot of boat traffic there right now.
Mm-hmm.
So those walleyes must be running up the river to feed below the dams this time of the year, too. And they do go into a feeding frenzy to stock up for the winter.
Sure, so, sure. Now, what other recreational opportunities are there? You're not too far from ATV trails, right?
That is correct. We do have state-funded ATV trails, and that's becoming more popular statewide. And the ATV trails that are in Adams County, we also allow UTVs, those Rangers, Razors, the side-by-sides.
Mm-hmm.
And if county allows them on the trails, then they're also allowed on the roads that are open to ATVs. So there's well over 100 miles of roads, either sand, gravel, or pavement, that are also open to ATVs and these side-by-sides, except this year you have to have a license plate on the back of them. That's new DNR requirement.
Right. Yeah, we've talked about that on the show. And now, I just when we were up north, we started seeing ATV signs on some of the paved roads. Do you have the roads signed so that people know where they can go and where they?
Oh yes. Oh yes. The roads have to be signed, mm-hmm. otherwise they're not allowed on them. So if they come to a road that's not signed at the beginning of the road and at the end of the road, there should be signs on. Sometimes there'll be just white arrows at intersections, but mm-hmm. if they see a sign at the beginning of the road and at the end of the road, then they know they can run that whole road distance in.
Yeah.
That's a really a popular sport, and the side-by-sides now, Dave, Dan, are going wild for dealerships. That's the number one seller right
now.
Oh,
I know that. Yep, I know that. Yeah. You and I have talked about that a number of times, and in fact, your raffles, you usually have one at some of your event raffles, like at the Warren's Cranberry Fest.
Right. And then we have them at the parks, too, and yeah, that's the number one seller right now, the side-by-sides. And when you think about it, the population is aging, and these are the people with the money, and that's why they're getting the side-by-sides. They're enjoying life.
Yeah.
Which is good. Which is good.
Absolutely. You and I aren't aging, though. At least last time I noticed, right? Not if you can party all night with the folks at the Outdoor Wisconsin Banquet and then drive home a couple hours.
Yes, sir.
Hey, last question for you.
Yes.
Kind of off subject here, but you're going to take me pheasant hunting this year?
Yes. Matter of fact, I was just over to the area that we plan on pheasant hunting, and we had to put some cameras up because some of the wild birds are getting consumed, and we're not sure if it's by hawks or fox.
Probably both.
So, but yeah, that's definitely on the plan. We just have to figure out when we're going to do it, but that should be a good time, too.
Okay, great. Well, Fred, always a pleasure talking with you. We'll plan that hunt, and we'll plan to talk to you just as winter is approaching, so we can talk about snowmobile opportunities, all right?
Sounds like a great opportunity to do that. Thank you.
All right, you bet. Fred Nickel, Director of Parks, Recreation, and Trails for Adams County. And this was brought to you by Adams County Parks and Recreation. You can find out more and learn all about those great parks, Castle Rock and Peatonwell, on the web at adamscountyparkswi.com. More Outdoors Radio after this.
Listen to More Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com. Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Jeff Kelm is here with me in the studio, and our show is brought to you by the Ruffed Grouse Society. They are celebrating more than 50 years of habitat improvement for grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife. You can learn more on the web at roughgrousesociety.org, or you can learn more by just listening to our conversation with Gary Zimmer, who is joining us from Leona, Wisconsin. Gary is a coordinating biologist with the Rough Grouse Society. And, Gary, grouse season is underway. Thanks for taking a few minutes out of your hunting time to talk with us.
Thanks, guys. It's quite a time of the year for all of us grouse and woodcock hunters.
It certainly is, and I got to ask you, up there in the Forest and Florence and Marinette, and you're actually in Oconto County, aren't you?
Actually, just into Forest County.
Just
myself.
Into Forest. So how
I cover all those areas.
Yeah. And what are you seeing up there? What's the season like?
Well, we've been pleasantly surprised this year.
Hmm.
The spring drumming counts were down for grouse. And we anticipated that drop-off, but our dry summer was good for one thing, and that's raising young bird broods.
Oh,
and
good.
Grouse responded quite well.
Good.
And we've been seeing good numbers in a lot of places. I've had people tell me they haven't seen this many broods in a long time.
Hmm.
I still have other people telling me they're not seeing any, but part of that is due to the weather conditions we've had. You know, it's been a dry year overall. And while the northern part of the state was definitely spared much better than the southern part of the state, the north did have its share of dry spells, too.
Yeah.
And that resulted in birds kind of concentrating in certain areas. And if you get to those areas right now where they're feeding, you're going to find good numbers of birds.
Okay. Now, how about woodcock? I imagine the drought has dried up a lot of spots that are normally wet, a lot of little alder seeps and places where you'd expect to find woodcock. What's
yeah,
the story there?
They're definitely concentrated. Also, people are really, really seeing good numbers in places, but again, they're concentrated because of the weather. Something that was interesting that I found out early in the hunt was some of the first birds, the first day or two that that you could hunt, were really flying, typical of what you find in a migration, where they're flying very short distances, looking like they're exhausted and tired. And one bird that I shot noticed it had a very delayed molt, and that's a very good indication of drought-stressed birds. So our birds are going to be lighter this fall, for sure, the woodcock are, compared to last year, and you know, like I said, they delayed their molt a little bit.
Okay, well, it might make them easier to hit for those of us who have trouble getting on them.
It will be, but by now that molt has been completed, but the first bird that I got did have slightly shorter wing feathers than it should have, and I noticed even when it flew it wasn't quite up to snuff.
Okay. All right, well, now this week you're up in Grand Rapids, Minnesota for the National Grouse Hunt. Tell us about that. What's it all about?
Well, this is actually our 31st year of putting on the National Grouse and Woodcock Hunt, and it predominantly has two missions. One is obviously a fundraiser, and almost all the larger conservation organizations have a large fundraiser, and this happens to be our largest. We bring in 50 teams of hunters, and they enjoy two days of hunting and several days and evenings of festivities to promote hunting and the outdoors. Part of the event then is they do harvest some birds and bring those in for counting, but also for data analysis. And we do aging and sexing, weighing of the birds, and we can get a lot of information. And this is the largest running database of grouse and woodcock in the world right now. And it's pretty interesting, and some of the findings that have come out of it. I mentioned earlier about the drought-stressed woodcock, and the lighter they are, we have found out the next summer and spring these birds are in rougher shape coming back because they've left here in rough shape, and the brood production next spring will probably be a lot less than it was this year just because of the condition that they're going into the year, and we learned that at this event.
Okay, well, that's great. I mean, it's great to learn that, not great news for the woodcock, but I guess the impact of weather or climate changes is far-reaching, not just something going on for a month or so when we suffer it.
That is correct, and weather has a big factor on birds that are as sensitive as these two birds are.
Now, you mentioned to me when we set up this interview that the Rough Grouse Society is involved in a U.S. Supreme Court case. Can you tell us about that?
Right, Dan. We joined with a lot of other groups across the country very concerned about a judgment by the Ninth Circuit Court in California that ruled that rainwater runoff from forest roads would be considered, and this is the roads that are put in by logging or harvest activities, would be considered an industrial pollutant, and that's never been the case in the past. In fact, for decades, the Environmental Protection Agency and under the Clear Water Act has had an exemption, a silvicultural exemption on this type of runoff, and it has been treated as a non-industrial source, and that allows states in particular to make the regulations of what you can and can't do in those type of situations, and it has led to what's called the best management practices for forestry and water quality, and some of the best recommendations and guidelines to follow in water quality. Unfortunately, now with this court case, it is tossing almost all that out the window and could drastically reduce the amount of harvest that goes on, especially on private lands, as people would be required just to use and maintain or improve a logging road on your property. Would have to go through a major permitting process, and the cost and complexity of that probably rules out especially a lot of the small private landowners from implementing a timber harvest on their properties. And as you know, that could drastically reduce habitat availability for grouse, woodcock, and other wildlife.
Wow.
And on young forest habitats.
Wow. So just me trying to put a culvert on a road crossing a little wet spot on my property, I might have to get a federal permit.
if this continues, and that's why the Supreme Court did decide to hear this case. Mm-hmm. We think, and a lot of other groups think, this is absurd, and we had to go through all the efforts to fight this, and it cost time, money, and everything else, but we think it's well worth it, along with some of the other groups. I can name a couple. I know American Farm Bureau, Small Business Legal Center, Society of American Foresters, states like Arkansas. There's groups all over the country that are fighting this ruling, and we've joined in. As I believe right now, we're the only conservation organization that's fighting this.
Mm-hmm.
But, we think it's very important, and we know it is very important, and hope the Supreme Court makes a judgment that is not following what the Ninth Circuit decided.
Right. Okay. Well, we will follow that. I'm sure there'll be updates in your fan newsletter and also on the Rough Grouse Society website.
There sure will be, Dan.
Yeah. All right. Well, Gary, thanks so much, and enjoy that national hunt. I got to get up there one of these years. I have not been yet, but a number of friends of mine go to it, and I'm sure they're having a great time. So thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks, Dan.
Gary Zimmer, coordinating biologist with the Rough Grouse Society. This portion of our show brought to you by RGS, and you can learn more on the web at roughgrousesociety.org. More Outdoors Radio straight ahead.
For the nonprofit Rough Grouse Society, the well-being of the rough grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Rough Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Millions of walleyes, trophy walleyes, the walleye capital of the world, Minnesota's Lake of the Woods. Dan and I encourage you to take action and plan a trip to Lake of the Woods, the nation's premier walleye lake. Over 50 full-service lodging facilities with charter boats and fish house rentals. Fishing is hot year-round. Meal plans, fun bars, and the Lake of the Woods hospitality awaits you. All the info is at lakeofthewoodsmn.com or call 800-382-FISH.
When hunters ignore the rules of firearm safety, the consequences can be tragic. Hello, I'm Conservation Warden Tim Lawhern. This hunting season, will you choose to be safe? Responsible hunters will. Here's how. Every time you handle a gun, handle it like it's loaded. Never point it at yourself or someone else. Know your target and what's beyond it. And keep your finger out of the trigger guard until you're ready to fire. Your DNR wants you to have a safe hunt by following these simple rules. Remember, safe hunting is no accident.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin DNR and your local conservation warden.
Enjoy upland bird hunting at its finest, plus year-round sporting clays and shooting instruction at Milford Hills Hunt Club. Milford Hills has a full-time gunsmith, a well-stocked pro shop, and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your client or corporate outing. And their Friday night fish fry is second to none. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility. Call 920-699-2249. Or visit MilfordHills.com.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Mr. Hardwater Jeff Kelm is here in the studio with me, and our show is brought to you by Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world. You can learn more online at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. And joining us now from Baudette, Minnesota, at Lake of the Woods, is Lake of the Woods Tourism Director Joe Henry. Joe, thanks so much for joining us.
Dan, my pleasure.
Hey, now, last week, Jeff and I talked with Mark LaBarbera, my good friend and our associate, who was on his way up to Lake of the Woods, and he sent me a couple of photos. It looks like you guys had some good hunting and fishing. So what happened when he was up there?
Yeah. Do I have to tell everything?
Well, just pick the highlights.
No, we I'm kidding around. We had a good time. We had so much fun. So, you know, we started out, you know, we wanted to make it a duck hunting trip. And we said, all right, let's go duck hunting, and we'll whack some ducks, and we'll go from there. You know, we also have grouse hunting we could do. We have our walleye fishing. Certainly, it's always there. And so we went out duck hunting. And, Dan, really what we did is we would take our canoe, and we would go on some backwater off Lake of the Woods. And there's lots of little backwater bays with wild rice that are really quite secluded, but they're big.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's funny because the locals had left. The northern ducks weren't down yet, so we're kind of in that middle phase, yet there's still a bunch of ducks around.
Huh.
So what we would do is we would, in this case, I took Mark and I put Mark in the front of the canoe, and then I would paddle. And at the same time, it was kind of fun because I had a chance to use, you know, one of those small cameras you can mount on your head so we can get some of the footage.
Oh, you had like a GoPro.
Yep, a GoPro Sony had come out with a new action cam that I just picked up.
Nice.
And it's the same concept. But yeah, yep. So we got some really good footage. And what I would do is I would paddle around, and it was fun because, you know, you'd be kind of creeping through the weeds.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd be kicking up ducks left and right, you know. I mean, everything from bluebills to ringbills to teal to woodies to mallards.
Mm-hmm.
We had a multi-species deal going on. We picked up some geese. And so we shot quite a few ducks. I think that the first day we shot, you know, just we were bouncing from bay to bay and such. But, you know, we got over, you know, I don't know, we got 6 to 8 ducks, something like that. And mm-hmm. We only hunted for, you know, probably 3-4 hours.
Wow. Just
kind of do a little bit of jump shooting.
Yeah.
And, you know, one bay we're going into, we picked up a flock of probably, I don't know, there's probably a few hundred bluebills in it. And,
wow.
There are definitely some birds around. It was fun.
Well,
you know, it's so neat because every little bay you go into is an adventure. And then every little, as you're paddling around back in there, you know, every little corner can hold ducks.
Right.
And a lot of corners did. And, you know, we picked some birds up that were too far out. And other birds, you know, we were in a canoe, so other birds were flying just kind of behind us, so we chose not to shoot. And, but there was action, I'll tell you that.
Oh, that's neat. Now, that's my favorite kind of duck hunting, jump shooting from a canoe, either in a slough or a backwater like you had there, or little rivers. I got to ask you, how was Mark shooting?
Well, Mark's a good shooter. He is, yeah. He's very concise. You know, he missed a couple shots, and we talked about it and laughed about it. But,
mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's pretty sharp.
Good.
He's not the guy to go, you know, bang, bang, bang.
Right.
He's more of a guy that picks a target,
yep.
Waits for the right time.
Yep.
Wait till that bird's over open water, so it's not gonna, you know, we're not gonna lose it. And,
yep.
Then he pops it when he needs to pop it.
Yeah,
so you can tell he's done that before.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. I've shot sporting clays with him, and he's good at sporting clays. And I've actually shot bow fishing for those silver carp that jump out of the water and you shoot them in the air. And I know from that experience that he's very deliberate in picking his target. So, well, I'm glad he did well. So, but did you do any other hunting as well?
You know, so what we did is we did that, and then, you know, we could have gone out and set decoys up. We chose not to do that. And, you know, so part of the trip when we got there was kind of a bluebird day, real nice. It started getting cloudy, and then on day two of our trip, we actually got a snowstorm.
Hmm.
So, you know, an early October snowstorm.
Right.
And it was windy. I mean, it was probably 35 miles an hour, and the snow was going sideways. And, I mean, it was rough out in that lake. And, you know, up in the northwest angle, we're amongst islands and things, so we can get out of it. Which is the benefit of being up there. But it was interesting. It made for a whole new duck hunt because one day it was a bluebird duck hunt day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, for the people that like duck hunting, you know, when it starts snowing out, I mean, a lot of people get excited.
Oh.
At the time to get out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Neat.
And, no. And so we were out the second day. We did some duck hunting, and we, you know, we're doing it in the snow. And, you know, we shot some ducks day two as well. It was fun. The snow was coming down, and we were creeping up on those ducks because, you know, they couldn't hear us coming.
Right.
And,
right.
It was really, yeah, pretty neat.
Did you do any grouse hunting?
We, you know what we did? We arranged. It was because of conditions. And,
yeah.
You know, it started out as rain, kind of turned to ice pellets, and then
right.
Turned to snow.
Right.
So, I think because of the conditions, the grouse were holding pretty tight. We just went through a ride through the woods just to kind of show Bark the terrain and such up there. And, you know, I had seen a grouse on one of my ventures back in the woods. We didn't see any when I was with Mark, but, you know, I can tell you that the people that have been going out grouse hunting, there's so much land up there that's public hunting, and there's so few people that do it. But the guys and gals that are going out grouse hunting are shooting good grouse. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, up the Lake of the Woods, we actually get three species of grouse. We get a rough grouse, which is the most common.
Yep.
We get a spruce grouse. And then once in a while, you can get some sharp tails. In fact, Mark was kidding me. He said, yeah, Joe, I know you had it all set out because I drove into town and I saw some rough grouse and some sharp tails flew right in front of the truck.
So, yeah.
Pretty comical.
Yeah.
But,
well, no.
So we got a good grouse population. We didn't get out real long grouse hunt just because of conditions.
Sure. A couple of years ago, I was up there with Tim Lesmeister and Adam Johnson and Casey O'Day from Minnesota, and we hunted, we shot rough grouse and sprucies, and we tried for sharptails, but we didn't have enough time and didn't find them. But I know that they're there because there's great terrain for them, and we did see some flying across the road too. Now, you guys did some fishing, and I understand one of you caught a phenomenal walleye.
Yeah. You know, what we did, I told Mark, I said, all right, so we have, Mark had to take off, you know, Friday, and you know, somewhere late morning or noon type of thing. So I said, well, hey, you can't leave Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world,
right,
without catching some walleye.
Right.
So, you know, we shot out, and, you know, the worst time to fish is after a storm's come through. That pressure system's gone through, and it's the worst time to fish. So we go out there, and I wasn't sure what to expect, although I fished the water a lot. And we were with Dan Schmidt of Flake Island Resort, and we got out there, and, you know, we marked some fish. We caught a couple small ones, and we went to another spot just a short ways away, and, you know, we started catching some nice fish. I'm talking, you know, 17, 18, 19-inch fish, and mm-hmm. we started catching them pretty quickly. So that was a lot of fun. And all of a sudden, I set into one where I had a pretty stout rod. My rod bent over. I told those guys, I'm like, boys, you know, I don't know what it is, but it's a good one. So to make a long story short, you know, a few minutes later, we netted a 30-and-a-half-inch walleye.
Wow.
And I'll tell you what, Dan, I'm not kidding you. You know, we have, you know, we have the picture posted on our you know, our website and our Facebook site and such. But I'll tell you something. That 30-and-a-half-incher, you know, didn't weigh it, but guarantee it was 11, was it 12 pounds?
Oh.
The fish had big enough shoulders and a big enough girth.
I believe it.
Could have been. I mean, it was big.
Wow. Wow. Now, walleye is, of course, you're known as a walleye capital, but you've got other good fishing now, too.
Oh, yeah. No, we got, I mean, this is a multi-species fishery. So in addition to the walleye, we get our saugers. And that adds to a really fun day, whether you're open water or ice fishing. It keeps you busy. And then, you know, we have huge perch. We have jumbo perch mm-hmm. that, you know, get mixed in with the walleyes. And they're big humpbacks. I mean, they are big. And then, you know, we get the crappies. So up in the northwest angle especially, we got monster black crappies. And then, you know, our northern musky fishery is just incredible. I mean, we had people fishing off the dock at some of the resorts, and they were catching a lot of nice fish. In fact, we had people just casting around the resorts catching fish over 40 inches, which for people that don't know the length, the weight, that's over a 20-pound northern. So
wow.
Some nice fish. And then,
yeah.
You know, the muskies are going bonkers. And, yeah. You know, it's funny to me because, you know, fish have 10,000 casts. Well, not at the northwest angle of Lake of the Woods, because, you know, we have families going out catching their limits of walleyes during the day, going in for supper, and going out at night casting a meps or a daredevil and catching muskies.
Hmm. Nate, now.
I mean, they're quite prevalent, is what I'm trying to say, and the size of them. I mean, you know, most of them are 40 to 50 inches, and then you're going to get your fish that are over 50.
Nice.
Those are the true trophies.
Nice. Now, it won't be long, though, that you're going to be freezing up and you'll have ice fishing, right?
Yep, but boy, tell you what, we can't wait. If you've never ice fished Lake of the Woods, you know, we actually get as much business, if not more, for people ice fishing than we do open water. And, you know, I think there's a couple reasons for it. Number one, the water has a little bit of a tint to it because of the muskeg that drains from the southern end of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that tint in the water's clean, but it's got a tint. That tint allows those walleyes to bite all day long. So you don't have to go out at midnight or, you know, right away at 5 in the morning and have that one-hour window at, you know, the start of the day, the end of the day. You know what? You can go out there during the day. We almost call it a banker's bite.
Huh.
But you can go out during the day and whack walleyes all day long. In fact, they bite the best during the day. They don't bite too much at night.
Yeah. Well, neat.
So, yeah, that works out really nice. And, you know, both the south end of the lake and the northwest angle as well, we have, you know, resorts that put out the fish houses.
Mm-hmm.
So take you from a heated resort into a heated a bombardier. They'll drive you out to the fish houses. They'll put you on the fish. You fish all day in heated comfort. They'll pick you up. They'll drive you back to the resort just in time for happy hour. And
wow.
It's really a neat day. And you catch fish, Dan. That's a cool thing.
Oh, I know.
You don't have to sit there and play cards.
I know you do. And, you know, we're out of time right now, but we are giving away this month, as you know, because you set it up, a fall fishing and lodging package at Wigwam Resort, one of the 50 resorts you have up there. So we'll give people a chance to sample the kind of fishing that you showed Mark just a few days ago.
That sounds fantastic.
Well, Joe, thanks so much for talking with us, and we'll be in touch. And let us know, send us any pictures if you get any more big fish like that.
Sounds good, Dan. Thank you.
You bet. That was Joe Henry, Executive Director of Lake of the Woods Tourism. This was brought to you by Lake of the Woods in Minnesota, the walleye capital of the world. More information, lots of great photos at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. upland.com. More Outdoors Radio straight ahead.
Enjoy upland bird hunting at its finest, plus year-round sporting clays and shooting instruction at Milford Hills Hunt Club. Milford Hills has a full-time gunsmith, a well-stocked pro shop, and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your client or corporate outing. And their Friday night fish fry is second to none. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility. Call 920-699-2249 or visit milfordhills.com.
Millions of walleyes, trophy walleyes, the walleye capital of the world, Minnesota's Lake of the Woods. Dan and I encourage you to take action and plan a trip to Lake of the Woods, the nation's premier walleye lake. Over 50 full-service lodging facilities with charter boats and fish house rentals. Fishing is hot year-round. Meal plans, fun bars, and the Lake of the Woods hospitality awaits you. All the info is at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Or call 800-382-FISH.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
When hunters ignore the rules of firearm safety, the consequences can be tragic. Hello, I'm Conservation Warden Tim Lawhern. This hunting season, will you choose to be safe? Responsible hunters will. Here's how. Every time you handle a gun, handle it like it's loaded. Never point it at yourself or someone else. Know your target and what's beyond it. And keep your finger out of the trigger guard until you're ready to fire. Your DNR wants you to have a safe hunt by following these simple rules. Remember, safe hunting is no accident.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin DNR and your local conservation warden.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. Thanks for joining us today. Outdoors Radio is brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com. We got a really cool giveaway this week. For the month of October, we are giving away a fall fishing and lodging package to Minnesota's Lake of the Woods. The winner will receive two nights lodging at Wigwam Resort and a full-day charter trip next month, in the month of November. We'll tell you how to enter in just a little bit.
We have an electronic newsletter each week. In addition to the radio show, you can subscribe to it or you can read it online on my website, which is dansmalloutdoors.com. If you don't get the newsletter, you can subscribe to it there, or you can go to LakeLink, lake-link.com/DSO radio, and you'll see a link to subscribe to it. My television show, Outdoor Wisconsin, next week features the Wisconsin Humane Society's new Ozaukee campus in Saukville to see how they process a batch of rescued puppies for adoption. And, Jeff, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but They have a half a dozen puppies that come from, I guess, some kennel in Tennessee, and they bring them in, and they wash them all, and they neuter them, and they clean them up, and they put them in their little happy cages for the visitors to come and see. And they are, I mean, if you're looking for a new pet, you go to the Ozaukee Humane Society campus there in Saukville, and one of those puppies is sure to win your heart.
Oh, I'm sure. So, yeah. I'm sure. That's one of those places I got to keep my wife away from.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you've got a dog right now.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes.
And every time I go there, they try to send me home with a dog. I got to check my pockets to make sure they didn't put a little one in there. Judy Nugent is fishing for bass on Geneva Lake with Dave Dewey, and she's also biking the Elroy Sparta bike trail. And our archival segment from 1991, I'll look at the barrier-free fishing piers that have really been put on many, many lakes throughout Wisconsin. They provide safe access to good fishing for young anglers, for disabled anglers, for people who don't have boats, and for folks who just, you know, don't want to walk very far and they want to get out there and get some fish. And they've got brush piles and fish cribs off of some of them. They're really neat. As you heard earlier, Milford Hills Hunt Club's new trading post, gun shop, and gunsmith shop, and 100-yard shooting range are open for business. There are two places now to sight in your deer rifle. Milford Hills, which is located halfway between Madison and Milwaukee, just north of Johnson Creek, and McMiller Sports Center, which is also operated by the folks at Milford Hills. And McMiller is down near Eagle. So one of those ought to be within a half hour or 45-minute drive of you, no matter where you live here in southern Wisconsin. And the Trading Post, of course, sells guns used and new, and the shooting range can help you sight in your rifle. So check them out, MilfordHills.com.
We do have a calendar of events online at DanceSmallOutdoors.com, along with our e-newsletter you can sign up for. We're simple online search will find Outdoors Radio with Dan Small on a multitude of websites, and we'll also find your local radio station that carries us, so you can catch us on when they air us.
Absolutely. And for the month of October, we've got a special giveaway, a fall fishing and lodging package on Minnesota's Lake of the Woods. The winner gets two nights lodging at Wigwam Resort and a full day of charter fishing to be used by the end of November. And you can also upgrade it if you want to bring friends. This is good for two people, but you can bring a family and add a day or two if you want at your expense. To enter the drawing, send an email to info@lakeofthewoodsmn.com or call 800-372-FISH. You leave your name, email address, and phone number, sign up for the weekly fishing report, and tell them you want to enter the Outdoors Radio Fall Fishing Package Giveaway. 800-372-FISH or info@lakeofthewoodsmn.com. I'm Dan Small here with Jeff Kelm. Join us again next week for more of Outdoors Radio.
You've been listening to Outdoors Radio, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Find more Outdoors Radio online at DanSmallOutdoors.com. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com. I'll be